There's a passage of scripture in Isaiah chapter 6, and it starts with verse 1. And in this passage, the prophet Isaiah is having a vision, and he sees God in the temple. And here's what he says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Have you ever had a life-changing experience or encounter with somebody? I was thinking through my own life, and I've had some life-changing encounters. One day, I looked across a crowded room, and I saw this face of beauty. And I ended up marrying that woman. Changed my life forever. One day, I was in the hospital room, and a brand new baby. It was Patty's and mine. And I saw that face, and I saw that little child, and my life was changed. And then I saw three more later on, and my life was changed even more. Had another experience one time, quite a few years ago. I took a mission trip, and Patty and I went to Haiti. And we saw the way people live that was nothing like what I had ever seen or known. And my life was changed by that encounter, getting to know some of those Haitians. My whole perspective on the world was changed. And there are other things. Education and instructors. Sometimes it's a book. There are all kinds of encounters that we have and experiences that we have that can change our lives. Well, the prophet Isaiah had a life-changing experience. And it was in a vision. The prophet was from the southern kingdom. And it was happening around the time when the northern kingdom of Israel was about to collapse. All right, they had been attacked by the Assyrians. And if you've been in Sunday school or some of the studies, you'll know some of that story. And I'm not going to go into it right now. But there were two kingdoms that were next to each other. And the northern one was being attacked by an empire, the Syrian Empire. Assyrian Empire. They were destroying the northern kingdom. And they were right at the border of the southern kingdom. And then another event happened. Their king, the king of Judah, died, King Uzziah. And he had been sick for quite a while. He had a terrible disease called leprosy, and he died. These are important things for a small country like Judah. And at that time, it made them feel very uneasy and very uncertain. There was a lot of chaos that was happening around this time. And it was in the middle of that chaos that Isaiah had this vision. And what he saw was the temple that had been built. But in the temple was God. And God had this robe on, and it filled the whole room. And flying above God seated on the throne were these creatures, heavenly creatures with six wings, flying around, and they were shouting and praising God. They were saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with His glory." And as they're shouting these words, the whole foundation of the temple was shaking, and there was smoke billowing up around in the temple. I can imagine Steven Spielberg having an amazing time recreating the scene, right? Sounds like something out of one of those, out of a movie like that. This is an amazing experience that Isaiah has. And has seen God. Now, we can't really comprehend what God is like or what God looks like or anything like that. Our human minds can't fully understand or grasp the awesomeness of God. Even if we were to see a vision like Isaiah did, we would only be able to express what we saw in incomplete analogies or in ways that are not fully what we've seen. However, there's an amazing thing that God did, and that was that God put on something that we would recognize. He put on skin. He became a human being and walked with people and ate with them and talked with them. He also died and rose again from the dead. And all of these things Jesus did to show us a picture of God and to help us to understand who God really is, and to show us that we can live for God as human beings in this life, and that there's something better even after this life. So, there's this vision of God that Isaiah has. As he sees the glory of God, his response is not, "Wow, this is cool." Isaiah says, "Woe is me! Oh no, am I ever in trouble? Here I am standing in the presence of glorious and amazing God, perfect God, full of holiness, and here I am, a sinful person." He says, actually, "Woe to me, I'm ruined, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." In the presence of God, who is perfect and perfectly good and loving and pure, in the presence of God, Isaiah, the prophet, is brought to a realization that he's a sinful person. He has unclean lips, and that he's surrounded by sinful people. He says, "How can these lips that are so unclean speak the word of God? Here I am, a prophet. I'm supposed to talk about what God is saying. I'm supposed to tell people what God is saying. And my lips, from where that word's going to come from, they're sinful. When we come into the presence of God, we see just how imperfect we are. See, God is perfect. Humans are not. We make mistakes. We sin. We fail each other. Sometimes we hurt people. Isaiah realized that he was in need of something different. He was in need of a transformation. And we too, as people with unclean lips, we are in need of a transformation too. You know, sometimes we claim to know the truth and yet we speak lies. Sometimes we talk about the love of God, but we're not willing to forgive someone. Sometimes we talk about the new life that we have in Jesus, but we make excuses for clinging to an old way of living. We celebrate God's healing or God's compassion, but we make, when we see the needs of people around us, we neglect them or turn away from them. Folks, it's good to confess. And this is what Isaiah did. He confessed his mistakes. He confessed his sin. He confessed what was wrong with him to God. And when we do that, when we confess our imperfections and our sin. When we do, we're finally able to make the necessary corrections or have the necessary corrections made. There was someone back in the 3rd century, Augustine, who said, "The confession of evil works is the beginning of good works." It's a good thing to do, to confess to God what we've done that's wrong. And the psalmist said, "When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand, God, of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I'll confess my rebellion to the Lord. And the Lord forgave me. Oh, my guilt is gone." You ever lived with a guilty conscience? You know how heavy that can be sometimes? How it makes us weighed down. It feels like we are worthless people at times. As we confess it to the Lord, what happens is that guilt is taken away. As we were talking about, even with communion today. And at that point, the healing begins. In Isaiah's vision, this heavenly being looks scary. Sounds scary to me. All these wings flying around. But this heavenly being, this seraph, as it's referred to, takes a coal off the altar, which is in front of God, and he touches the hot coal to Isaiah's lips. Ouch. Ow. That sounds painful, doesn't it? Well, the fact is that when we're purified, that can be painful. Think about burning away the impurities to make something clean. Sterilizing to get rid of the germs. Cauterizing a wound. All of these things are not pleasant experiences, but they're necessary to get rid of sickness or to prevent the spreading of disease. And so it is with this hot coal that Isaiah's sins are purified. He's made clean. With this, his guilt is taken away. He's made clean and holy. Just like as we were remembering what Jesus did to cleanse us from our sins in communion. And we took the bread and the juice to our lips. Notice, though, that Isaiah doesn't heal himself. He doesn't heal himself. He can't make himself holy. Instead, the healing comes from God, actually through one of God's servants, the seraph. And now that Isaiah has confessed what's wrong with him, he's come before God's presence, he's confessed his sin, he's been made pure. And now Isaiah hears the voice of God. God is not condemning him. God isn't chastising him for his sin. But instead God calls and says, "Who will go to us? Who will bring my word to the people? Who will bring this message to the world?" And folks, God still calls out to us. God is still calling, "Who is going to bring this good news of what I have done to the people around you? Who will do that? Who will be a messenger of this good news about Jesus, about the forgiveness of sins? Who will call people to peace with God and to a new life? Who will be my hands and feet? Who will bring help and care to the least of these? And who will love the outcasts unconditionally? Who will do that? Who will demonstrate my grace and forgiveness?" Are you able to hear God's voice calling you? If not, is it because maybe there's something there that needs to be cleaned out first? Maybe there's some sin that you're holding on to that you won't allow yourself to be made clean. Or maybe you've heard God's voice and God's call and you're unwilling to respond. Maybe what God is asking of you terrifies you or challenges what you've always believed, and you don't believe that it actually could be God. God is asking, "Who will go for us? Whom shall we send?" And you might be sitting there with your head down, looking at your feet, like I used to do in school when a teacher was asking for a response. saying, please don't call on me. Please don't call on me. But God is calling on you, right? How does Isaiah respond? He says, here I am. Send me. I'll do what you want me to do, God. I'll go. I'll bring this word to people. I will share your love with people around me. I will go to the least of these. I'll be your hands and your feet. I'll be your voice if you need it. I'll do whatever you want me to do, God. Here I am. Send me. God continues to reveal his power and his glory and majesty. And God has given to us Jesus, God in human flesh, to help us to see that. And the closer we come to God's presence, the closer we come to God's holiness, and the more we see our own sin and imperfections, but God will wash all of that away and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, as the Bible puts it, so that you can be a useful servant, used by God for amazing things, bringing the good news of God's love to all people, being those hands and feet. Jesus said, whenever you do something for someone who maybe doesn't seem very important, Jesus said, you're doing that for me. We can be the hands and feet, the voice, the compassion, the love of God. God is calling. Will you say, here I am? Send me.